Alrighty, good morning, everybody. It is Wednesday. It's 25th of June. Feels like just yesterday we started June, but okay, I'll take it. End of June means summer is coming. That's all I'm going to say. It's a little way off still, but it's coming. And we've got lots to get to this morning. A little later on in the show, for those people who feel that they don't get their dose of politics and world affairs, well, we've got an amazing guest popping in. She's called Brooke Goldstein. She's a human rights attorney and author, filmmaker. She's also founder and executive director of the Lawfare Project, and she will talk to us about all sorts of international affairs, which I think you will find very, very interesting. Certainly, a lot of them are pertinent to what's going on in the world this week, let alone just in the last few months. So we'll get into that in a short while. Also, we go from Brooke to someone else who's here in the studio with me right now, Blake. So we got two B's in this morning, and Blake Morgan is a qualified personal trainer, competitive bodybuilder, CrossFit athlete. He's also an online coach, and he is right here from Joburg. Well, Benoni, let's be fair. Because someone's got to stand up for Benoni, right? Nice to see you, dude. Yeah, thanks for coming in this morning. I mean, there are so many things we can start talking about, but let's get straight to the kill switch here. Is that I think there seems to be across the world, but also here in South Africa, to a lesser or greater degree, I'm not sure, this amazing thing that's happened where people actually want to get into shape. I mean, you're in a different league, obviously, being a competitive bodybuilder. That takes a different layer of discipline on all kinds of levels. But what do you think it is that changed? Because I remember the only oaks who used to go to gym when I was a kid were competitive bodybuilders.
Yes, 100%.
And you know, there were five or six gyms in the whole of Gauteng. I mean, at that stage, it wasn't even Gauteng, right?
Yeah.
So what happened? What do you think happened there?
Well, I think social media plays a lot of role with it. You know what I mean? I think there's the social media, because obviously every post you look at, you know, there's some sort of, you know, influencer talking about, you know, the perfect physique, how to
train
easy.
Not even talking
easy.
About, just showing pictures.
Well, yeah, pretty much. Yeah, yeah.
So it's, like, it's become like a, almost like there are bragging credits.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And I think you're spot on there. It's like social media has changed the way that people look at themselves, the way they look at other people. I mean, I think it's way worse for girls, because I think women are competing and have been for thousands of years in a way that men don't entirely understand. I mean, guys obviously competitive as hell with each other, and guys want to win more than anything else.
Definitely.
But it seems to me that girls' reputation building and sometimes reputation savaging seem to be their preferred tools. And while guys will go, wow, that girl's beautiful, or that girl's, she's fat, or she's attractive, or she's like looking amazing, they don't really go into the detail of it. But girls with each other will talk about each other, and will talk about other girls they don't know, and they'll analyze it a lot more. They'll have more scrutiny involved in the process. And I feel like guys have picked up on a bit of that too. They're starting to do the same thing.
Yeah, 100%.
Right?
I think the whole aspect of, you know, the physical look has become quite a big play in community and society now.
Sure.
I think now, because, I mean, you know, going through the years, you know, you'd have a look at like a GQ or a Calvin Klein model, you know, and that was few and far between on magazines and so on.
Well, it used to be like men's health was the apex, certainly when like in my adult life. And I don't know when men's health came onto the scene, but I do remember that, like, getting onto the cover of that meant you were a fine specimen.
Yeah, 100%.
Before that, there wasn't really an arbitrator for that. You know, you either like a good-looking movie star, or you were enormous and like strong, like Arnold or Jean-Claude Van Damme or Sylvester Stallone or all of those guys that we watched in the action movies.
Yeah.
It was like there were those two categories,
exactly,
right?
Exactly. Yeah, and 100%. And now with how big bodybuilding's got, like especially obviously with the classic physique, and you know, you got like Chris Bumstead and stuff.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I think just like his not his stigma, but the way he goes about it and the way he carries himself as an athlete, you know what I mean? Like his personality, I think just his following alone, you know, has grown the industry massive folds, you know? So, and I think now people also now are becoming a lot more conscious about health. You know what I mean? And I also think as the years are going on, you're finding people to get a lot more sicker nowadays. Mm. You know, there's a lot more like shows of cancer in, you know, between 30 to 40 ages, you know, so it's scary.
But I want to talk to you about something that I think you're uniquely on this show, because we haven't had anyone who's like a proper competitive bodybuilder on for a very long time, as far as I can recall. And there's a dark side to that.
Yes.
Because the first of all, there must be 100 different competitions now, right? Then there are people who abuse all kinds of steroids and the rest of it, and do huge damage to their kidneys and their livers and God knows what else. But they again, desperate to win.
Yes.
And you've got to admire just the way that you would a prime athlete in any other sport.
Exactly.
The kinds of sacrifices they make. Some guys obviously take it a little bit too far. And I think probably some women, because they're women bodybuilders who are as competitive.
Oh, no, definitely.
And can I tell you, some of them could fuck me up in a fight.
Yeah, no, for
just,
sure.
They could just look at me and I think I'd give up straight away.
Yeah.
But it is incredible how the pressure starts very early now. Like, you got schoolboys who are spending hours at the gym.
Yes.
Every day. And they might not even have grown to their full height yet.
Yeah.
You know, bone length in the legs and that kind of thing is a consideration. But you've been in this for a while. And maybe it's a good idea to just go straight into the part that you think is not so good, not so kosher. And then we can circle back to the stuff that's worth paying attention to, that is about improving your physique, being healthier, feeling good, being able to pick up heavy things and do difficult stuff.
Exactly.
That I love. I don't think anyone has a problem with that. But what is this dark side from your point of view and your experience?
So from the way I'd see it, the dark side in bodybuilding. So, you know, when it comes to obviously show prep, so you know, if you're looking at a competitive bodybuilder, so, you know, everyone just sees the glam, you know, guys eating a lot of food, doing a lot of cardio, training really
hard.
That
meal prep thing is ridiculous,
you know,
right?
I mean?
Isn't it?
No, it's the worst. I think that you spend most of your time in the kitchen just preparing all your food. So I think when it comes down to it, like when you look at it, like, everyone just sees the glam side, you know, and how amazing the physique looks. But I mean, you could be in the best shape of your life, but feel like the absolute biggest piece of shit, you know, like just feel absolutely like negative, unhealthy.
No energy.
Yeah. So the thing is, and as your calories start to drop off, you know what I mean? You start to feel so negative. You feel tired. You've mood swings, loss of sex drive completely. I mean, male and female. So
why does that happen? You see, that I didn't know about. I mean, there's lots that I don't know.
Yes,
but
yes.
I've heard a couple of things. I've heard about the mood swings. I've heard about the low energy because you're not having anything that's got carbs in it, for example.
Depletion.
Another thing is the water that you have to kind of drop before a show.
Yeah.
And some guys take this to extremes where, like, I mean, listen, it must be a very painful process physically and mentally.
Yeah.
Because you see them, their skin is like,
it's like
paper thin, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And you can see all the veins and things, and then they spray paint themselves orange or God knows why.
Yeah, you look like a trophy.
You got to explain that to me at some point. But this thing, I didn't realize the sex drive goes down. I would have thought, like most people who are uneducated about these kinds of things, that when you are an athlete in peak condition, your body kind of would put the sex drive up.
Yeah, no.
Because you would be more in demand and you would need more.
Mm.
And that's not the case?
No, it's completely the opposite. So you could be looking in your complete awesome physique, you know, and that's when people would be most attracted to you. Well,
you'd think
society,
so, right?
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But in that state, when you're so depleted of carbs, your cortisone levels are high, your sex drive is completely low because your testosterone is taking a bit of a crash. So your desires for any of that is completely out the window. I mean, your sleeping is terrible. You're waking up every 2 hours because your body fat's low. You're getting up to pee every 2 hours because you're drinking excessive amounts of water. So even like with vitamin C, so you've got to be taking like 3,000 milligrams of vitamin C a day. So in the morning, afternoon, and night. So that helps reduce the cortisol levels, reduces stress on the body. And then obviously leading up to the show, you'll drop your vitamin C because it acts like a diuretic. So that helps with dropping water.
Right.
So as like going back to your question, where
what kind of level do these guys drop it to? Because if I hop on one of those cheap scales, they give you kind of a a water percentage.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it's not very accurate. No. Obviously, the way you guys would do it would be far more accurate. Yes. You'd use calipers and all kinds of things to calculate the amount of visceral fat. And
that's it, yeah.
But what's healthy and what? Where does it tip over into, oh my God, this is not good?
So normally around about on stage, you're looking at guys or anything between like 5% body fat. 5% body fat. So now you must remember 5% body fat. When people see that, they think, oh, wow, that's amazing. That's where I want to look. But I mean, that's a once off. That's a once off. Like that's not healthy.
No,
that's,
I mean, you will get sick very, very definitely. Quickly.
And
you pick up everything.
You're looking at organ problems, organ failure.
Yeah.
And guys' physiques, and also it can become a big, very big mental thing, is because guys, from that day, you can lose that physique within 3 days.
So, okay, what I'm asking for is permission to be slightly fat. So what do you think is a good body fat percentage, and what do you think people should be looking at in terms of the kind of, you know, you hear about BMI, but yes. I don't think it's an excellent way to measure anything, because they'll tell you you're morbidly obese if you're at like 25.
Yeah. So I think the standard average would be between 10 and 15%.
That's good, right?
That's good. That's healthy. You know what I mean? That's healthy. You've got enough fats for your organs and for your body, for energy stores to carry on.
Right.
And a lot of the people will look at a guy at about between 6 and 7% and be like, you know, that's where I want to be. You know what I mean? But I don't want to prep for a show, but I want to be there.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's a big step up if you decide that you're actually going to take part in a show.
Yeah.
Because there you're up against other people. And listen, some of these oaks have some serious balls going up there because they don't look great, but they think they do.
They do.
Well, you know, maybe in their little town or whatever, someone said to them once, gee, yeah, you're stark.
Yeah.
You're with bodybuilding, dude. And then the guy goes in there and, you know, compared to some of these guys who might have been training from a very young age, or they might have been ultra, ultra disciplined, because that's the other thing. It takes time, right?
Yes, definitely. It takes a lot of time.
You got to spend and a fortune
I've
of time.
I've seen a few of those guys at show day where you're like, well, like you want to kind of tell the guy like, man.
Drop out now.
Yeah, I don't think it's a good idea for you, but you know, if you've got the balls to stand up and do it, well, you know, go for it, you know.
Yeah, listen, I think that like anything, it can be taken too far, but because it's a visual thing.
Yes.
People are much more judgmental than maybe they would be if you were a tennis player who was obsessed with fitting in another practice or, you know, doing X number of meals over X amount of time, with popping 7-8 pills a morning, drinking protein shakes the whole time. They wouldn't give you as much shit.
Yes.
But because bodybuilding, it has both a good and a bad reputation at the same time. It's got like the Arnold Schwarzenegger, Mr. Olympia. You mentioned Chris Bumstead earlier. Yes. You know, these are people who have like just they've shown you what the human body can do and look like. And then you obviously get the oaks who are dropping, you know, dumbbells that weigh 100 kilograms on each side on the ground and smashing the concrete to pieces. Yeah. And the two are not the same.
No, not at all. Not at all. And bodybuilding, and that's where people get it wrong, is because bodybuilding and powerlifting are two different things.
Yeah.
So, you know, people think that bodybuilding is powerlifting. So they think they need to go into the gym and lift the heaviest thing that they possibly can for every single set. It's not like that.
Oh, well, the veins are popping out on their heads.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, nosebleeds, and you know what I mean. So it's not about powerlifting. It's about, you know, developing that mind to muscle connection.
Right.
So I try to explain that to a lot of clients. You know, when you're going through movements, to obviously actually focus on that specific muscle you're working. You know what I mean? You're not just using the whole body just to shake and move. It's a controlled movement to actually feel that muscle that you're moving, and then you grow from there. Because once you develop mind to muscle connection, then you're actually putting more focus into that muscle. You're dropping your weight that you're using. Normally when you're going to be using 100 kilos, you're only using 35 now, because your contraction on that specific muscle.
But so much of it is ego too.
Oh no, ego lifting is one of the biggest things.
Obviously it depends what gym you're at, but I used to have a trainer, and she said to me, she used to go to a gym in the East Rand where these oaks would, I mean, they had only these enormously heavy weights. They didn't have weights up to 35 or below. They only had upwards of 50.
Oh, yeah.
And then she said these mutants would come in there.
Yeah.
And like they'd check what the other guys are doing and just try to beat them. I mean, clearly it's like anything. If that's your little environment, then people become obsessed with it. There was a question up here just now, which I think is interesting. Ronnie Coleman had 0.3% body fat at some stage. Is that even possible, says Dirk?
Yeah, that's pretty much what they did state. Yeah.
How the hell? Yeah, how?
It's mad. But that's close to death, man.
Yeah, you can't survive on that.
Yeah, no.
That's not a chance.
Very close to death, yeah.
So, all right, let's just talk a little bit about some of the things that you can do as an online coach, because I see a lot of people who shouldn't be doing this doing it. I mean, clearly, you've got the CV to be able to do this with, you know, experience. You've got clients who you can use as references for this kind of thing. But I see a lot of people start up, they go to gym. That's all they've done. They go to gym as a normal, you know, Joe or Tom or whatever. And then they suddenly decide, oh, I think what I'll do is I'll just start working out meal preps based on what I do for a whole bunch of clients who just don't want to be fat. And I'll tell them what exercises to do, and then they'll pay me money. And this is going to be easy because it's scalable. I can put like 200 people on this program. It's not that easy.
No.
You actually need to know the client.
Yeah.
Because people are all very different, right?
100%.
So how do you figure that out? Because I also see a lot of charlatans online
who
don't know what the hell they're doing, and they're probably giving people dangerous and stupid advice.
Yeah, and I've seen some guys come to me with you know, previous coaches' information and stuff, and it's quite scary to see what people are giving.
What's the worst advice you've seen from these idiots?
Wow, man! So when it comes to like chemical base and cycle bases and stuff like that, where some coaches want people to take, like, you're looking at, you know, milligrams and grammages that pro bodybuilders wouldn't be taking, and this guy's probably maybe been in the gym for like a year.
What's with these oaks who eat pre-workout powder as like a flex?
Yeah, yeah.
They get in the car and they take like one of those.
Dry scooping.
Yeah, the scoop pre-workout.
Pre-workout, dry scooping, yeah.
And then they like, I don't know what it does to them, but they look ridiculous.
Yeah.
What's that all about?
I think someone needs to explain that to me. It's more of like a trend, but you know, obviously, because you're dry scooping it, so it's they think it gets into your system a lot quicker. You know what I mean? Just dry scooping with
water. They haven't heard of cocaine.
Yeah. 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 But I mean, if you actually mix it with a little bit less water and put it into a system, it's going to flush into the system a lot quicker anyway.
Yeah. I mean, that when I've used it, when I've thought to use it, and when I've remembered to use it before I go training, then adding water seems like the obvious thing to do. First of all, that can't be very pleasant in your mouth.
No.
Right? Do they do it because they think it gives them that like rush of energy that
extra
they need?
Kick. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. People are looking for. Yeah. People are looking for a.
And that's another thing that's also scary is caffeine. Caffeine in gym. Like, I mean, guys are coming into scoops and they're telling me, oh no, we double scoop this and then we have Monster and then take three or four of these fat burners, and next thing you know, the guy's on like 1,500 milligrams of caffeine before he started working out.
Can't be good.
And his heart rate,
right,
hasn't even started to elevate because of exercise, but his heart rate's already at maybe like 130, 140, hasn't even started.
Since we're talking about the heart rate thing, because I've heard so many people, and clearly you've put a lot of time into figuring this out, and you know what the healthy range is, but I've heard the most important thing is that you can get your heart rate down quickly.
Yeah.
That's a sign of overall cardiac health. If you can go up to 150, but then you can bring it down to 60, 70 in a very short space of time.
Yeah.
Doesn't take you like a long time to get there, and you're not sitting there and your heart's going like you've done whatever exercise you're doing.
Yeah, that's correct.
Is that right?
Yeah, that is correct.
Thank God.
The quicker it comes down.
Sound like a moron. Yeah. Okay, so let's look at this. Bitcoin Boot says, I can't imagine Gareth on pre-workout. Very jittery. No, I find it like makes me like itchy and
shit.
Yeah,
the tingles.
Yeah, so I get that. That's all that happens to me. Thankfully, Cunning Stunt says, thankfully the bodybuilding scene seems to be fading, and it's about overall health and wellness as opposed to selling yourself on stage with 5% body fat and kidney problems. You know, there have been so many stories in the news about guys who have particularly kidney failure.
Yeah.
I suppose it's because you're putting such pressure on them.
Yes.
And the kidneys filter the blood. And now, you know, you're not giving the body the nutrients it needs, and maybe you're giving it stimulants that it shouldn't have.
Yeah.
So, I mean, have you heard of bodybuilders recently in the last 5 or 10 years that have died because of things like organ failure?
Yeah, well, even on social media now, there was a Brazilian bodybuilder who just died now recently after he's getting his pro card.
Explain the pro card before. What is a pro card?
Pro card. So obviously, with everybody that's competing at this stage, you know, all amateurs. So you're all amateur bodybuilding until right. you go pro. So you'll go to a pro show. Then what you'll do? So obviously, I compete in bodybuilding. So I'll compete in open. So it's all open. So I do open under 100, and then you get open heavy, which is 100 kilos plus.
Oh, so it's based on your weight?
Based on your weight.
Okay.
Yeah. So in bodybuilding, you'll have under 70, under 80, under 90, under 100, and over 100. So you've got 5 categories.
Okay.
So then now to get a pro card, you have to win your lineup. So you have to win your lineup, and then the first place of each lineup. So you'll have an overall. Okay. You have to beat the first place of each person of your lineup.
So pro card is a big deal.
Yeah, very big deal. Very big
deal. Wow, okay. Mm. I should apologize to some people who've told me they've got a pro card, and I was like, yeah, so.
Yeah, no.
So it's a big deal.
It's very tough to get.
Right. And I didn't realize they did it by weight either.
Yes, yeah. So it's the same thing also like when you've got your different categories, like you've got classic physique. Classic physique, that goes according to your height. So according to your height, you have to weigh a certain amount. So you can't be just massive and short. So it goes according to your height and weight. And then you've got your 212, where you've got to be around 94 kilos.
Okay.
A lot of the 212 guys are a lot more shorter because they're pretty much as wide as they are short. So, yeah. And then you have your men's physique. Yeah, men's physique that also goes according to weight and height.
Goon says, wiping your ass is an art when you're jacked. And then somebody else asked about, like, do you have to buy an extra long toothbrush if you're a bodybuilder? We got all these jokers. Some of these people are fat that are commenting. Let's just say that. Shaw Roden won the 2018 Olympia and died 3 years later. Yes, so it's Sean just Roden. Plain Jared.
Yeah. Very good athlete.
Are we in this country, are we supplying a steady stream of good quality bodybuilders that can compete internationally, or is it a very local market for that, and most of our guys, when they get out there into the rest of the world, don't really perform?
So the problem what we face here is that we do have a lot of good athletes, but you know, obviously bodybuilding is an expensive sport, you know, so it's a very inexpensive sport. And, you know, to get the backing to do these shows, you know, and a lot of the shows where you want to go compete in are all overseas. So, you know, it's big money to go.
So like that's additional. But that's when you additional. Say it's an expensive sport, is that because of the time you got to put in, the meal prep,
time,
the supplements?
Food, supplements.
Okay. Are there things that I don't know about that cost money in that? Because, I mean, just as someone who works and does normal stuff – and tries to go to the gym 4 or 5 times a week.
Yeah.
I mean, I think I have to do those things too.
Yes.
So why is it so expensive?
Well, you must remember, so if you're a competitive bodybuilder, you're probably eating about 6 to 7 times the amount of food you would eat in a day.
Oh, shit. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
That's where that meal prep
that's
stuff
where the
comes
meal prep,
in.
Yeah, because you're eating 7 meals a day.
And that food's shit, right?
Yeah.
What, so what are you allowed and not allowed?
Not allowed quite a lot. So pretty much I'm actually 9 weeks out from show at the moment.
Okay, what's the show you're taking
place? So I'm taking place in the Fire and Ice. Fire and Ice, it's on the 6th of September.
Okay.
Yeah, bodybuilding.
All right, so you have to prep now for that in September.
Yeah, I started prep already. So I'm actually going through a bit of low carb at the moment. Oh. Yeah, so I started low carb about 2 weeks ago.
You wanted to shoot yourself after waking up this morning.
Yeah, yeah, wasn't too bad.
Okay, and what kind of things do you eat?
Yeah, so at the current moment, so I'm eating 8 eggs in the morning, 75 grams of oats.
8 eggs?
Yeah, 8 eggs.
Jesus, so 8 eggs. Do you eat them? What do you do with them?
I make an omelette. Oh. It's pretty simple and basic.
Yeah. An 8-egg omelette?
Yeah.
It must be a mountain.
Well, it's 6 egg whites and 2 whole eggs.
Oh.
Chuck the yolks.
Okay. All right. And the whites are actually good for
just,
you.
It's the one of the cleanest form of pure protein
right.
that you can take in.
That's what they make a lot of the supplements out of, supposedly.
No, but actually.
Like the protein powders.
Protein powders made from cheese.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, and they disguise it with all that flavor, but it's actually just cheese?
Yes, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's like...
I always wondered why I didn't like that stuff so much. Very good athlete after Gareth just told him he died from his sport. I suppose you mean that guy who we were, Sean Roden, that we were talking about earlier. Dirk says the percentage of bodybuilders with health issues is probably very similar to the percentage of people who don't exercise and have health problems. Do you think it's like that? I mean, is it when you take on this as your sport, are you taking on so much risk? I can't imagine that's true, that it's the same as people who
definitely not.
Don't do any exercise. Those people have massive problems. And just the heart getting the blood around the body for those people is a very, very tough job.
Yeah. Yeah, and the thing is that there's a lot of, like, when obviously competitive bodybuilders, you know, they take a lot more precautionary steps, you know what I mean? They do blood work often, they have a look where they, you know, where all their levels are at, you know. So they monitor their physiques quite closely.
So do you have to go to the doctor reasonably often while you're doing this?
Normally every 3 months.
Okay.
Every 3 months you do checkups and just to see where your pressures are at and your ASLs and your LDLs and your CKs and...
I don't know what any of those are.
Yeah.
So okay, well, I won't pretend I know. The whey foam stuff that when they make cheese, so that's JP saying that in the comments. What's the average cost of your toilet paper per month, says Nico? How many rolls? Surely you need a sponsor. Toilet paper sponsors. That's something you need. Do you shit more?
Yeah, 100%.
Oh, really?
Yeah, if you think about it, I probably go to the toilet about 7 times a day.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Okay, well, yeah. That's not great. That's a lot of time.
Yeah. And that's just number two. Yeah.
My God.
It's probably like 30 times a day.
You must be peeing like a racehorse the whole day.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so that's also why the kidneys take a hammering. Yeah. Okay, I got you. How much protein should I be eating per kilogram of goal weight? Is it 2.5? Says Traveling Ninja Turtle. I don't know. I mean, that seems like a very arbitrary number to assign to. Well, how many grams of protein should I be eating per kilogram of goal weight? I mean, protein powder doesn't reduce your weight.
Protein powder, no.
No. It's a meal replacement for some people. Or it's a supplement post-workout for people, right?
Protein powder, like your maximum would be maybe two scoops after your workout.
Yeah.
That's about it, yeah.
Right. And I think for people who probably don't have time to eat anything else when they, for example, leave early for work in the morning.
Yeah.
Because I realized when I started taking training seriously, mostly because of this coach that I had at the time, she said to me, if you don't have time to eat a breakfast, just have a protein shake in the morning before you start your day.
Yeah.
And then that will take the place of a meal, but it's not going to make you, it's not going to grow your muscles, it's not going to remove fat.
But it's just better than not having anything.
Okay, got you. I have to shit, says Tabo. This is great. I'm so glad we're all sharing how often we shit this morning. What a lovely show this is. Tabo says, I have to shit every morning when I get to the office because of creatine. Is that what happened? Does creatine make you shit?
Creatine, well, that's news to me. And
Tabo, there's something else, dude.
You got
the squirts.
Just check where you're getting your creatine from.
Yeah, something's wrong. Someone's poisoning you, Tabo. Dirk says, how do you find time for the gym with all that shitting going on? You see, this is the audience I love. I love you people. What can I use to replace protein powder? They're so bloody expensive. That's become an unbelievable business.
Yeah.
Is the supplements and meal replacements and the pills and the powders and the this is a massive business.
Yeah, it's scary how massive it is.
And they make a ton of money, right?
And the thing is what's also scary is they keep starting to separate ingredients and then start saying you need to have this plus that.
Yeah.
And then this plus
that. Yeah. And I've also noticed that what started off as, like, you know, a couple of options at the local Dis-Chem, and there are whole shops that just do these things. But just at the Dis-Chem that I've noticed, there's now a whole aisle. And then there are these pills, extra, dis, boost, ultra, fuck you, I'll destroy you powder. And then you've got these pills that you're meant to take as well because these will, I don't know, give you energy or something else. How much money do you have to spend every month on that kind of shit?
Yeah, so I'm very basic. I don't go too much into supplements. I like to supplement with food.
Right.
So I prefer to go the food right. I've always been like that. Like, I'm not too much into the supplements. Like, pretty much only supplements I would take is maybe just the BCAAs and creatine for intra-workout.
Right.
And then I don't really even do whey protein that much. I just supplement an extra meal. So, I mean, to answer that guy's question, you know, if the best option to supplement for a whey protein shake would be just be to have a healthy meal.
What's the toughest muscle to exercise for you? What's the worst thing in your week of different sets that you have to do? Which one do you hate? You think about it, it makes you miserable.
Yeah, well, when it comes down to it, like when you start getting into, you know, your training and enjoying and stuff like that, it's all pretty tough. But still, no matter what athlete it is, it'll always be leg day, man.
Legs, yeah.
It'll always be leg day.
You're just so fucking tired after that. And you 100%. And it's sore no matter how often you do it, right?
And it's such a big muscle group. It requires so much from you.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, technically, you should probably do 2 leg days a week.
Yeah, you should.
Because they're different muscles that you are working in order to try and get to the level. It's much more fun to just do the upper body. Yeah. Much more fun to do chest or arms.
Yeah, it's much more fun until you look like an upside down pear. Then it's not that
fun. And I suppose also the big problem for so many people is there's some muscles that you just cannot do anything about. Forearms and calves, right?
Yeah.
You just can't do anything.
Yeah.
I mean, so, there's a basic amount of kind of genetic luck
to where it's limited.
Yeah, and so I suppose for some guys it's very frustrating.
Yeah, and obviously, like calves, like people think that you can't grow. They can be grown to an extent. Mm. You know what I mean? You can change them slightly, but also like calves needs, it's a very, very, very dense muscle. So you need to put a lot of load and more holds and time and attention. So you've got to compress that muscle. You know, it's not about putting a heavy load and going quickly. It's about doing slow repetition and holds.
How much do you bench put?
I didn't really even bench, eh?
Don't you?
No.
Oh, come on. Isn't that the question everybody should
ever? Everyone on. Well, my heaviest bench is 170.
Don't you like go out when you decide to go and have a drink with mates or whatever, and then you get some little guy who just decides now he wants to ask you stupid questions like that, you know, because he can see that you're a bodybuilder.
Yeah.
Because you could see someone who's a bodybuilder.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, these are not regular size or shape people.
Yeah.
They stand out.
Yes.
So someone is bound to look for shit with you occasionally or think they're being very, very funny by asking you questions like, but you bench put so that they can have a competition.
Or do you even lift, bro?
Do you even lift? Oh, Jesus. All right. Quads and glutes exercises are designed by a sadist. Rather just never wear shorts. That's what Dirk says. Okay, I think that's probably a good idea. Is it true that lean biltong is a good source of creatine? Nita Keeler.
Yeah, it has aspects creatine? Of it. Yeah,
really.
But obviously, I think the amount of biltong you'd have to eat to get your dose would be too much.
8 eggs a day. You need 20 chickens just in case some don't perform. Says Nico. He's probably got chickens. And Bitcoin Boat says eat chicken, but not the KFC kind.
Yes. Yeah.
Right. Okay. Yeah, that's very good.
It's a good start.
And then I suppose there are also. I mean, you just mentioned now the kinds of things that. That people hate exercising and leg days, obviously. What's the best one? What's the one that you go, oh my God, lovely. Today is going to be fantastic.
That would be back and shoulders.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. I think a lot of people probably pay less attention to back than they should. Because a lot of people are more about what people will see when you're looking at them.
Yes,
right?
Yeah.
And the back is also, if you don't have a strong back or a strong core for that matter, you're going to be in pain.
That's it.
You're going to have sore shoulders. All kinds of things are going to go wrong.
And your back is your second biggest muscle group.
Right.
So that requires just as much as attention as your legs.
Shit. Okay. Putting a lot of us in our place there. I sit far away from bodybuilders, says Cunning Stunt, because those protein farts are potent. Are you married?
Yes.
Okay. Does your wife complain about the protein farts?
She complains about quite a lot about with bodybuilding.
Okay. So well.
Yeah.
So
it's quite a list.
Does she like you bodybuilding?
She does. Okay. She does. She prefer. Well, I don't know. It was pick the less of two evils. You know what I mean. So I got into bodybuilding and competitive sports and stuff like that because. back in my youth, you know what I mean? I took the Jewel scene pretty hard. You know, I think, right, I put as much dedication and determination into
fantastic. Nothing wrong with that. You know, I did, I mean, too. So, I'm very proud of that.
Yeah, 100%. But now, obviously, the main focus was just to put everything into sport.
Right. And Benoni.
Benoni,
that's credit. You know? People take you seriously. And when did you start? How old were you when you began that?
So I did my first bodybuilding show in 2015.
Okay.
2015. But
how old were you then?
I was, I think, 26.
Okay. Yeah. That, now, some people would say that's late.
Yeah.
What age do you have to retire from bodybuilding?
Well, there's not really any age, eh? There's not really, because you get masters. You get masters over 50. You get masters over 60. I've even helped a few guys prep at 55 for shows.
I have such respect. You'll never find me being mean to anyone who's old or fat at the gym.
Yeah, no,
I'll never be mean to them. No, I'll be mean to people outside of there, but they're at least trying.
They're there. Yeah, yeah, they showed up.
Yeah, and it's, you imagine how bloody hard it is if you weigh 160 kilograms.
That's it.
And you have to drag yourself to the gym and then get on that treadmill. That can't be an easy process.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, even if they're doing 20 minutes of just walking on there, that's terrific. I'm a fan.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, and what sort of people come to you for coaching? I imagine you get a huge range of people, right?
Yeah. Massive range for people. Quite a male, female. I get youth. I get old, young.
Who are the hardest work, the actual ones who want to compete? Are they the toughest to coach because it's complicated? Yeah.
So, you know, a lot of people that I train, you know, are people that are looking just to obviously, you know, better their lifestyle, you know, get fitter, become healthier, you know, it's more for like longevity. So those are more like the clients that I'm getting, you know, for like health reasons. But with regards to athletes, that's when it becomes really hard. Is because a lot of guys that, you know, see you compete or hear about competing and then think, okay, cool, I just want to, you know, jump on stage. But then when you start putting, you know, processes and plans and everything in place and these guys start to realize what it takes, you know, it becomes extremely difficult because, you know, the guys aren't following procedures, aren't following plans. Athletes can be quite a headache. But you do get some really good dedicated athletes which follow the plan and follow the process, but a lot of them don't.
Here's a question which you could probably answer. How do I deal with, and this is from somebody who says that they train four times a week. They're by no means a bodybuilder. But how do I deal with, where is this question now? It's just disappeared. Oh, here we go. Jethro says, but I gym four times a week. How do I handle tendonitis? My left arm is a shit show at the moment.
Tendonitis, yeah. Tendonitis that, like with everything, it needs rest.
Okay, yeah, it needs massive and also, I suppose for some of these people, you don't want to overdo it, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I hear a lot about bodybuilders who've torn their pectoral muscles or they've severely injured an arm because they're lifting too much that's too heavy.
Yeah.
So you really have to know what you're doing. And also, you can correct me if I'm wrong here too, you have to vary your training schedule. You have to change it all the time because your body gets used to certain things and then it just becomes
not 100%. People tend to think that. I mean, when I go to the gym, I see newbies and beginners doing the most complex stuff that they've obviously seen some YouTuber guy doing. These guys haven't developed any form of muscle density or any form of muscle as yet, but you've got them doing the most craziest shit that I've ever seen. And I'm just like, like all you need to do is just stick to the basics. It's like that with anything in life. You know what I mean? You just stick to the common basics, have a set gym program, follow that for anything between 3 to 6 months. But your goal is to better that. So week by week is to better it, more reps, more sets, you know, a heavier load. Just do a better workout. And then from there, you can start to alter it, not change completely. Because changing completely, you're not giving those certain muscle groups enough attention in 1 week.
So what other stuff do you do? You're competing in September. Apart from actually doing weight training, do you do cardio? Do you do other things as a part of a daily routine or a weekly routine that help you to get into the shape that you need to be in for the competition?
Yeah, so I'd at the current moment, so I'm doing 45 minutes on the Stairmaster every day.
Oh, that's boring, hey? What do you listen to music? Do you listen to podcasts? What do you do to...
I try to do as much as possible when I'm on that thing. Yeah, I listen to music, podcasts.
write a novel.
People. Yeah.
Because you know. It's boring.
No, it is.
Fuck, cardio is boring. Yeah.
And especially steady state cardio.
Yeah.
It's just, and the thing is 45 minutes, you can't get away from it. You can't do it faster. You can't do it slow. You're there for 45 minutes. You're there.
Yeah.
So I try to get 10,000 steps in a day. So average 10,000 steps in a day plus my 45 minutes cardio. Getting my 6 liters of water in the day. And the thing is also people think that, you know, so obviously got my water, yeah.
I have done 6 liters of water a day and I'm not competing anything. I think that you should drink a lot of water
you should.
Every day, right?
So water is so important.
But it's probably
everything.
A sign of general health if you're consuming upwards of 4 liters of water a day and no more than about 7. Because everybody says, oh, well, the one thing that you'll never have enough of is water. You can actually
you can
drink
drown
too
yourself.
Much.
Yeah.
Who would have thought? Yeah. All right. What other things? You said you drink the water, you do the Stairmaster. Do you do things like the ice plunges and the saunas and the
saunas I don't do. Like ice baths I do here and there, obviously for inflammation and recovery. I try to get as much like rehab work in, you know, deep tissue massage, scraping, because that obviously just helps release muscle fibers, helps the muscle to grow better. Posing every day.
Heard of scraping.
So scraping is with a blade. They take a blade.
Oh, really?
They take a blade and they scrape the muscle.
Physiotherapist or a?
So like a bio.
Oh, biokineticist. Yeah. Okay. Oh, wow. Okay, that's something I absolutely had no idea existed.
Yeah, but it's something that's not fun that you want to go through.
No, sure. And the posing. Now, obviously, you've done this for a while, so you know what you're doing. And you've also got over the awkwardness of having to do those funny moves that the guys do. But in the beginning, you must have thought, I probably look ridiculous.
Yeah, 100%.
Right? And then on stage, the whole point of a pose is to show off everything the overall physique, and in particular certain muscles that will, because you got judges there who are looking for stuff. They're like you, probably have been bodybuilders or know something about it. They're not just schlubs who walk off the street, so they know what to look for.
Exactly.
So when you pull some funny pose, like everybody makes fun of these poses, and a lot of people seem to think that they make for great profile pictures. But it's a skill to learn that stuff.
Sometimes posing can be one of the hardest parts of bodybuilding, is because people just think you're just standing and doing a side chest.
It's
you're just
a
showing
performance.
The chest and the bicep. But I mean, in that movement, you're making sure that you're keeping your abs contracted. You're showing your obliques, so you're squeezing your obliques. You're pushing your hands together, flex the biceps, squeeze the chest over.
And you must
want
to pass out when you walk off the stage.
Yeah, and you're low on carbs, low on water. So, and then also you got to push the foot into the floor, so you show the calf, you show the glutes and the hammy, and then you got to squeeze the glute. So in each movement, you're thinking about flexing 6 different body parts.
And most of us can only think about one at a time.
Yeah. Yeah, and the thing is you've got to make sure that your breathing's under controls, because as soon as you and your stomach comes out, they're minus points off from you.
Fuck.
So you have to have your stomach flat 24/7 while you're on stage.
And why orange? Why do they always look orange on stage?
Yeah, I don't think it's always supposed to be orange. I think some people's skin tones just don't adapt. I seem to just go like really like dark. I end up looking like an actual trophy.
Oh.
So, yeah, I don't go orange. I just go – I think it's because of my pasty skin, so.
All right. Well, this is all very interesting, because I've never actually asked some of these questions. And you're curious about it, but you also think, I don't ask this in case the guy thinks I'm being rude. Because, you know –
Yeah, 100%.
And it's like any sport. You only figure out when you've spoken to people who are at the top of their game what it actually takes. And some of the stuff is stuff they've only learned after 5-10 years of doing something.
I still even find myself learning from year to year. So every year there's something new to learn. I mean, because I spent 2 years in the Middle East competing and coaching and bodybuilding.
Here we go. Listen to this. Is the toughest part of being a personal trainer the towel toss where you reserve three machines at a time? Okay, so let's just talk a little bit about this because I think this is probably something that irritates a lot of people as much as it does me. People just don't behave themselves. They have no manners yeah. in the gym. Not everybody. Yeah. I get along pretty well with most of the people I encounter there. Yeah, you have your headphones on or your little AirPods or whatever, and you go about your business and you don't actually interfere in other people's business. But some people just don't have manners. And yeah. I think they would be like that everywhere, including the gym. So it's not just there. They're probably just shit people yeah. most of the time.
Yeah, gym etiquette is
definitely...
They
leave their stuff lying all over the place. They're taking selfies. They're having loud conversations. There was a guy on Thursday last week having a full-on loud business conversation with his, I don't know who it was, must be someone he works with. And he thought this was so important for the rest of us to be entertained yeah. by. Yeah. You know, I've you're in a public place.
Yeah.
What do you say to people? Do you say something to them?
Yeah, definitely. Like a lot of the time, you can't put people too much in their place, but you obviously just, you know, kind of just elaborate a little bit to them. You know what yeah. I mean? That
right.
you know, this is just not just your
just
area.
Just lift that one eyebrow.
Yeah.
like that. Yeah, like, don't make me fuck you up. I don't just look like this. I can pack a punch as well. Yeah. How do you get the body fat and water retention down before the competition? Okay, so this is a whole process that Dirk wants to know about. Can you give us the down low on how that works?
Yeah, so you obviously have your peak week. So your peak week is your final week before show. So Naomi, remember your peak week before show, you can absolutely destroy your last year of preparation in your peak week. If
you can screw it up that badly.
You can screw it up that badly that you can actually get to stage and be so depleted and flat that you can't get a pump because you've messed up your sodiums and your waters. So you can't get a pump, so you look completely flat on stage. So this happens to quite a few people. But it's obviously – so building up to stage, so one of the healthiest routes to go about it. So you'll obviously start doing your decarb. You'll start doing your decarb in the beginning of the week. You'll start with loading your water. So you'll start with 6 liters of water on the Monday. Then you'll go 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. So if your show's on Saturday, you'll probably build up Thursday. You'll build up to about, try to build to about 10 liters of water.
Good Lord.
10 liters of water.
Yeah, that's a different league.
Yeah, so 10 liters of water and then still taking your 3,000 milligrams of vitamin C morning, afternoon and night. Then that Friday morning when you go for your weigh-in, you will drop the vitamin C. You will only have about 2 liters up until 2 o'clock, and then you will have nothing from Friday till Saturday. So you'll cut your water completely. So now your body's in this hyperdrive.
Desperately thirsty, right?
So, yeah.
But also because you've been drinking 10 liters the day before, your body doesn't know what the hell's going on.
That's it, yeah. So you literally just constantly peeing. So and the problem is this is one of the safest ways to do it. Then you'll also, depending on how people respond, you'll have like between 250 or 350 mils of red wine. That Friday.
Oh, okay, well, yeah, so at least that's nice.
A little bit of a...
And then is it true that after the competition, hopefully, you know, in September you'll win, but then you go and you just fucking eat everything. Yeah. Is that what you do?
Well, that's what I used to do. I don't do it anymore.
What's the choice meal after something like that?
Normally a pizza.
Oh, really?
Because
you're craving that because you can't have it.
Yeah, 100%.
Sure. Yeah. Can you substitute, I know it's more expensive, but can you substitute the protein that you would normally have, chicken or fish or something, with steak?
Not when you're coming towards your leaning out phase, because steak's a lot more denser, a lot more calories in it.
Okay.
But no, normally during your bulking seasons, you can obviously implement steak. You know what I mean? You don't want to have steak too often. You know, you don't have too much.
Don't tell me that. Don't tell me what to eat.
Yeah. Well, steak once a day, but not 5 times a day.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I could have steak once a day for sure. How's Blake's watch? What's this? How's Blake's watch looking so big on his arm? Shouldn't it be the other way around? Says Bitcoin. But yeah,
got thin wrists.
Oh, okay. There we go. James, find that Arnold Schwarzenegger clip and show us some pictures of Blake in competition. Yeah. Why don't you have those, James? Huh? Some people gym for others. Some people gym for themselves. There's a big difference, says Wade. Yeah, I suppose that's also an important thing, is that for a lot of people, it's recognition. It's winning. It's being in competition. But for some people, and I assume this has happened for you over time as well, is you end up actually, you're your biggest competition.
Yeah, definitely.
Because you want to get yourself, and listen, I think there's something amazing about this. Get yourself into the best shape you could ever be. And maybe that comes at a certain age. Maybe it comes with training. Maybe it comes with timing and making sure the amount, the percentage of water in your system is right. But sometimes it's all of those put together, and it can just work. And, you know, for that day, you're in the most perfect physical condition that you can possibly be from an appearance point of view.
Exactly.
Yeah, it must be special because most people will never do that.
Yeah. And the thing is to achieve it, like as much as there's the dark side of you know, the prep and going to bodybuilding and, you know, going through the hurt locker of complete depression and, you know, you can get to gym and sit in your car and the hardest thing in the world would be thinking from walking from your car to the gym door and then you still got to do a gym session and cardio. You know what I mean? So it becomes one of the biggest mental battles ever. But as much as it sounds so negative, but achieving something like that and manage to get on stage and get into that physique that you've accomplished, you know, it's one of the biggest satisfying achievements ever. You learn so much about your body.
You've done it all. You've done it all. I mean, you can have a coach, you can have a sponsor or a list of things that you can put into your body or take out of them that'll help you. But in the end, it is down to you.
To do the work.
You know, there are people who have money because they've got a rich uncle or because they lucked out, found a job that was available at the right time and they just had the talent to be able to pull it off or the knowledge or whatever. But when it comes to your body, you are the author.
Yes.
You have complete blame if you get it wrong.
Yeah.
And you get all the credit if you get it right.
Exactly.
No one can ever work out for you. There are rich people all over the world who wish they could pay someone else to train for them.
Yes. Yeah.
But they have to do it.
Yes.
And there's nothing that can take that away from you if you've achieved it. I think it's tremendous. Okay, so we've got some good questions this morning. I mean, I usually give our audience shit, but they really deserve some credit today. James, feed them some crumbs or throw some sweets at the audience from the sweet jar in the office there because they're doing very well this morning. Usually we treat them like shit, but look at this. We're getting great questions. What is the longest downtime that Blake has taken off from training and how was he impacted?
The longest downtime I've taken off of training was probably, three years ago, actually I had cancer.
Jesus Christ. That's a big deal. Post cancer, you're now competing.
Yeah. Yeah. That's
phenomenal. What cancer was it?
So it was a rare form of skin cancer. I found it in my ear.
Shit.
Yeah. So I thought it was a pimple. So I went to the doctor, he tried to squeeze it. He said, no, it was just like a gland or whatever. Went to a surgeon. They took it, the operator, they took it out.
Yeah. I heard the doctor's exact words were, fucking bodybuilders always trying to find something wrong.
Yeah.
You went to another surgeon?
Yeah. So then I went to a specialist and then they said, well, we'll operate to take it out. He said it was almost like a dermoid cyst.
Okay.
He said it was a cyst. So they cut it out, they tested it, and it was to be honest, I really can't remember the name. It's because sometimes when you go to those doctors, they throw words like this long. I have no idea what they're talking about.
But it didn't spread.
No, it didn't spread.
So
but it was out. It was 0.2 millimeters away from my gland.
If I'd
left it, I would have had lymphatic cancer.
Jesus.
Yeah, so I did treatment for 6 weeks. 6 weeks. So I was off training for... Okay.
What treatment did
radiation.
They? Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. So I did radiation
That's
treatment
not playing
for 6 weeks.
Hey?
Yeah, so it was rough. I still trained. I still trained for the first 3 weeks.
What did the radiation do to your body? I mean, we know what it does to the regular person, but what did it do to you who's used to being in shape, training six times a week?
Yeah, well, it funny enough, when people ask me, I pretty much say, I felt like I was in peak week for 6 weeks.
That's how bad peak week is. All right.
Yeah, so I almost felt like I was in peak week for 6 weeks. I had severe diarrhea. I had a slight hair loss, pain in my mouth, loss of a bit of taste, struggle to eat. It was quite a process.
And that was 6 weeks of treatment, but how long did it take you to get back into the gym?
Back into the gym. It took me about...
That must have killed you, man. More than anything else, it must have driven you crazy to not be able to train because it's such a big part of your life.
That's it, yeah. So I think the longest I was off from training was 5 weeks.
Hmm.
It was 5 weeks.
Okay. Hmm. All right, so I don't have to feel bad about the 5 days that I've missed.
Yeah.
It's not great, though. Let me tell you, if I don't go... I just find, as someone who's not competing or – here we go. Jesus, is that you?
Yeah.
Holy shit balls. Check those shoulders, dude. Huh? James.
Hello.
How often do you go to the gym?
I try every, second day or so.
Okay. All right.
Good start.
You don't have arms like that?
No, I have noodles.
Very poor, James. Very poor. Flex, what do you think? It is amazing. All right. Do you have to make those grunt noises when you pick up a weight, or is it okay not to, says Bebop? You don't have to make those stupid noises.
You don't
noises,
have to make those grunt noises.
There's another guy. I haven't seen him for a while, but he also, every time, he wants everyone to know he's lifting something
it's heavy. Yeah.
Or else he's deaf and he doesn't hear himself.
It could be.
You know, maybe that's it. Okay. All normal things. When you come out of the microwave, says Slippery Pickle. So you shouldn't be in the microwave. Okay, no one's climbing in the microwave. And then, hey, listen, why did the bodybuilder cross the road? He said he didn't. There's no walking on leg day. That's Betway, Professor. All right, well, listen, man, it's an absolute pleasure to meet you.
Awesome.
Thank you for coming in this morning. There's another pic of you doing your thing. That's leg day. That's a lot of weight there. What are you pushing there?
Oh no, that's not a lot of weight. That was just a photo.
Really?
Photoshop. Yeah, that's only like 320s aside.
Listen, I think I can answer the question I asked you earlier about what the worst is to do. I think leg day is probably the worst, but lunges and squats are absolute hell, right?
Yeah, lunges.
Those are terrible
lunges
things.
Lunges are so sneaky, man.
Horrible.
Yeah, definitely. Doesn't,
even if without weights, even.
Yeah.
They still
just
make
body weight
you
lunges.
Sore.
Yeah, yeah.
It's horrible.
They hurt you because it's entire quad movement.
It's a disgusting thing. It's a punishment. It was invented by torturers. All right. Very, very nice to have you here.
Awesome,
Thank you so much for coming so early in the morning. But then I suppose you've got a full day of training ahead.
Yep.
Very good, man. And where can people find you so that they can follow, get some tips, maybe sign up for some online coaching and
perfect. Yeah, well, they can follow me. I'm on bambam.11 for Instagram.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's my Instagram page.
Right. Well, they can look up Blake Morgan. That'll come up, right?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
Should come up. So there we go. Don't be stupid. Just type his name in and you'll find all the handles. Good to meet you, dude.
Awesome. Yeah, thanks.
Thanks.
For having
all
me.
Right, very good. On the way, you want to get into some international politics? You want to talk about some of the global affairs that are consuming everybody on social media? Well, you're in luck because we've got a guest who is able to, I think, articulate so much of what's going on and what we don't understand in the media at the moment, and she will be a great value add to the show this morning. So that's coming up. Brooke Goldstein in just a moment or two. Don't go anywhere.